heard this.
All right, praise the Lord on this Palm Sunday. This is when Jesus made His entry into Jerusalem. We read that scripture last Sunday as He made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And this is what they call Palm Sunday, where He rode that colt into Jerusalem. They threw palm leaves on the ground and they threw their clothes on the ground and He cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord." And I just say this, He's coming.
Yes.
Just like He came the first time, He's going to come again. And the world may not like that. You know, we got the cancel culture today. They want to cancel everything out. They probably want to cancel the Lord's return, but He's still coming.
That's right.
And it may not come at a time that will be convenient for them. They probably say, "I want you to wait a little bit before you come." The Bible said He's not going to tarry. He's not going to delay. And He's coming. And praise God, He may come. I want to read a scripture real quick before we do our Sunday school lesson. I think it would be good because He could come this year. And I know no man knows the hour of the day, but we can see the signs and we can know a little bit about that. So in Song of Solomon, I want to read, well, if I can find Song of Solomon, Proverbs in Proverbs in Isaiah, I can't hardly get it stopped. Okay, Song of Solomon chapter 2, here's a reference to the Lord's return. It's starting in verse number 10. "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." I know rapture's not in the Bible, but we will be taken up one of these days. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And during this time of this leaving out, it says, "For lo, the winter's past." Now they're calling for a frost tonight. That's not winter. That's just where it got cold enough to frost. But the winter, as we know it, is past. The rain is over and gone. It rained pretty good last night, I understand that. But it says the flowers appear on the earth. Now, my granddaughter went out and picked some daffodils and put them in a vase when she come to the house Friday. And you know, the flowers are appearing on the earth.
Yeah.
The time of the singing of birds has come. We hear the birds, the robin. We hear the sparrows, the cardinals. But one bird's significant in here just a minute. It says the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. That's a reference to a turtle dove. And they kind of woo, woo, something like it.
Yeah.
I'm not a bird thing, nothing. But this reference to this fig tree, verse 13. "The fig tree put forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." All of this is a reference of the Lord coming for His church. This verse 13 has two applications. One of them is Israel as a fig tree that the Lord gave a parable about in Matthew chapter 24. Learn the parable of the fig tree. And let me bring that in here real quick. He says, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Now, this reference is concerning Israel, and this other one also concerns Israel, but it also concerns the springtime. You can see that in verse 12, because it said the flowers appear on the earth. It's talking about a time. The time of the singing of birds has come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines smell. A vine with tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The Lord is going to come in the springtime. I don't know exactly. I just know it'll be in the spring of the year. The flowers will be blooming. The birds will be singing. And the trees will be budding. And you know, as much as they want to dismiss the coming of the Lord, He's still coming. Amen.
That's right.
All right, we'll take our Sunday school lesson this morning out of Revelation chapter 10. And I do want to back up and read a couple of verses before I do. And I'm going to go to God in prayer before I do any of it. Father, we thank You for the privilege, Lord, to stand for the Word of God. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You've given us, Lord, not only a Bible, but You've given us the Holy Spirit of God. That, Lord, by the help of the Holy Ghost of God and by the Word of God, Lord, we can be brought to the understanding, Lord, to know the things of God. And we know the natural man, he can't understand this. I used to be one of them, Lord. The Bible itself says a natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. But he that's spiritual knoweth all things, for Thou hast revealed them unto him. And Lord, we just pray, God, today You'll open Your words to us. Make Your words known to us. Lord, declare the great truths of Your words, Lord, in this lesson and even here today. Lord, show the treasures of Your word here today, we pray. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for whatever You do. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, this March 28th, Lord's Day Sunday morning, we're going to be teaching Revelation chapter 10, but I want to back up to verse 20 of Revelation chapter 13. And it talked about, you know, these plagues, these judgments that were coming upon the earth, and these men being bitten by these locusts and being also tormented by these four angels that comes up out of the River Euphrates, and they're suffering, and there's a lot of them dying, and men are being killed by fire and brimstone, and you know they're being stung, and all of this that they're enduring. Verse 20 says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not." I've met a lot of people like that. They would not repent. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 7, "Except ye repent, you'll perish." And no matter how big you are, no matter how bad you are, one of these days you're going to bow a knee either here or there. I done bowed mine. And you know, I'm glad I did. I wished I'd done it sooner.
Amen.
But I used to be one of them that would not repent. But Jesus says in Luke 13, verse 5, He said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He said the same thing in verse 3. "I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And you know, these men here, having been through all of this judgment, all of this suffering, these plagues, so many have died, and these that survived, it said, "Yet they repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils." You wouldn't think about anybody worshiping a devil, but if you get enough of the devil in you, you will. And they're really just kind of possessed. They're worshiping devils. They're worshiping idols of gold and of silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. You know, the Bible talks about that men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Talked about Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That word sorcerers, that's a reference to drugs. It means pharmaceutical. And they want their drugs. They want their fornication. They want to steal. They want nothing to do with God. And you know what? He's given them the price. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And they're having to pay the price for not letting the Lord be their Savior. And they won't repent. And they're enduring the price for that rebellion.
Amen.
Verse 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And that's not a reference to LGBTQRSTLMNOP. I don't know how many letters they've got to it now. But I will tell you this, it's an abomination, not just to God. It's an abomination to humanity. If God hadn't made them male and female, when he made them, there'd be nobody here today. If it had been Adam and Steve, it wouldn't have went no further than Adam and Steve. If he made them Adam and Eve, it would went no further. They couldn't reproduce. But in the beginning, God in wisdom made them male and female, and he blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply the earth. And we're here today because he did make them male and female.
Right.
But this rainbow was upon his head. It's just a reference to this angel. He's a mighty angel. He came down from heaven. He's clothed with a cloud. I was telling Brother Donnie this morning as we drove in. I said, see that cloud up there right amidst that blue sky? And he said, yeah. I said, one of these days the Lord's going to come in the clouds. Their eyes going to see him. Somebody said, how's that possible? We do it now. They have an event. They've got all the cameras on it. The whole world sees the twin tires fall. The whole world sees Kobe Bryant helicopter crash. I mean, things like that. The whole world is able to see it today by way of a TV and video and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, every eye is going to see him when he comes back in the clouds. I'm going to see him for that. But this mighty angel, he's clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now my pastor, he's pretty strong that this was the Lord here, and a lot of people agree with him, and that to some degree I do too. I've just got one thing I'll bring out here in a minute. But as John, as he hears this voice, he turns around to see the voice. And he saw one, and it describes him here, that his feet were like undefined brass,
yeah,
as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And there is a lot of scripture here. He's as bright as the sun in brightness, and there is a lot of things that you can connect to that to make this appear to be the Lord. It may be. Only reason I say that it might not be is because of verse 6, and we'll get that here in a minute. But it does give a lot of description. It's similar to the Lord, and the Lord does have a lot of angels. The angel of the Lord's all through the Bible. In verse 2, said he had in his hand a little book open. Thank God. Because over in chapter 5, I believe it is, there's a little book, but it's closed.
Yeah.
Nobody's able to open the book. And I'm glad this book's open. In Revelation chapter 5, he said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under earth was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much, because there was no man found worthy to open the book, to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loosen the 7 seals thereof. Well, in this case, this angel's got an open book, and he's got it in his hand. My pastor again said he thought that might be another reference to the fact that this was Jesus. And he may very well be right. I kind of like this. They just taught Revelation chapter 10 this Wednesday of this week. We're catching up to them, but they're ahead of us a little bit, so I can get a little gleaning from him.
Yeah.
And a little bit of gleaning from studying myself. And we want to do our best to present the truth and the best that we can. We want to use every learning, every tool that we can use to present the truth.
Yes.
But he had in his hand a little book open. And somebody said, you see a Bible that's falling apart, said usually the owner's not. And you see one don't look like it's ever been open, most likely they're not doing too good. I know Johnny Campbell, the Baptist, he comes over and his Bible, it ain't nothing but duct tape. I mean, ain't nothing holding that thing together. And it'll fall out and everything else. And I don't know if that's from him packing it or reading it, but I always say, Johnny, can't you get you a better Bible? He said, this is the one I want, the one I need right here. And he always carries that Bible. It looked like it had been through World War III.
Yeah.
But anyway, this angel, he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And again, my pastor made a reference, and I love my pastor, and I respect him to the highest degree of respect. He said only one walked on the water, and he said that was Jesus. He said he thought that might be another reason to conclude that this was Jesus. And like I said, I can't argue with him. Not only has he forgot more Bible than I'll ever know, but he's my elder. I am the Lord. And I agree with him. All this description does line up with the Lord. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, pastor again brought out that this lion voice as a lion roareth. I mentioned over there in Revelation chapter 5, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, loosen the seven seals thereof. And our Lord is known as the Lion. He come as a lamb, but he's coming back as a lion. Amen. He might have came meek and lowly, but buddy, he got fire in his eye now. And I want you to know, buddy, he could have come as a lion in the beginning, but he come in love when he came the first time. This time he's coming in judgment. But when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. I've got a little note or two on that. These seven thunders, well, that ain't it. Here it is. These seven thunders uttered their voices, and Psalms 29, I believe it is. Psalms 29 talks a little bit about verses 3 through 9. Says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Siren like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest and the temple, doeth every one speak of his glory. And that thunder, there's a mention up there in verse number 3. You know, the Lord, His voice is like a thunder. And when this voice of this mighty angel when he cried out with a loud voice, like when a lion roared, seven thunders uttered their voices.
Yeah.
And John here, verse 4, said, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Some things are to be known, and some things are withheld from our eyes. I'd like to say that we probably don't know anything of what we should know, but even if we set our heart to find out, like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, that we set our heart to find out, you know, the deep things of God, to set our heart to find out the secret things, there's just so far that we can go. And these seven thunders, as they uttered their voices, John heard them, but John was not allowed to write down what these seven thunders uttered.
Right.
Paul, he got caught up into the third heaven in 1 Corinthians. No, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He got caught up into the third heaven. And one reason I wanted to bring this out, he said, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it's not expedient, in other words, it's not necessary for me doubtless to glory. In other words, he said, I don't have to worry about making my credentials known or real. He said, it's just not necessary. I'll tell you why. He said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul was a chosen vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only was he a chosen vessel, but God told him what he would do as a chosen vessel. Kind of chasing rabbits a little bit here. But it all fits together. He told Ananias. Ananias was scared of Saul. And the Lord told Ananias to arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Now that pinned down who he's talking about. He said, for behold, he prayeth, and have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered the Lord, said, I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. And the Lord answered Ananias, and he said, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And you know, Paul had been chosen of God. Let me go a little further here. And the Lord told Paul, I'm reading again the same thing, just in greater detail, in Acts chapter 26. The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, verse 16 of Acts 26, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, to whom now I send thee. Here's Paul's mission: to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. Now that was the commission that the Lord gave Saul. And here he is now, Paul, and he said, it's not expedient for me doubtless to glory, for I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. Like I said, Jesus had chosen him, and Jesus had commissioned him, and he was a man that the Lord was using mightily. Now he gives a testimony here about getting caught up in the third heaven. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it's not lawful for a man to utter. Now that word utter is the reason I went to this. Paul heard things he wasn't allowed to repeat. He said it's not lawful for me to tell you what I saw, what I heard. And he did speak about them. But see if I can get back to where I was here. Seven thunders uttered their voices. Now John heard those voices. Paul heard those voices. Paul said it wasn't lawful for him to utter what he heard. John was told not to write what these thunders, the voices, these seven thunders, when they uttered their voices. He said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. That just shows you that God sets boundaries. The Word of God's not bound, but He sets boundaries. We'll understand it more by and by. But right now, we see in part, we know in part, we hear in part, but then it'll be face to face. Now, I can be talking to Sharon on the phone, and she may have her hair in curlers. I don't know, but I'm talking to her, and I don't know it. And she's not going to tell me, but I'm hearing in part. Where if we was face to face, she said, Brother Eddie, I'm sorry, I got my hair all rolled up. I'm trying to fix my hair up. And I come over and I say, well, I forgot to shave this morning. Look over me too. But we see in part and we hear in part, but then it'll be face to face. Some things are sealed up. We're going to get a little bit more into that here in just a minute. Seven thunders. And John's told not to write down what the seven thunders utter. Verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up. Now here's why I think this might not be Jesus. Now bear with me here, because my pastor could very well be right. I could very well be wrong. But here's why I think it might not be Jesus. And I'm taking the Bible in perspective here. And I saw the angel, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, that therein are, the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer. Now, the reason I think that this might not be the Lord, but rather a mighty angel, is because Jesus made all things, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And this angel is swearing by the name of the one that created everything. That's the only reason I say that this might just be a mighty angel. And I'll let the Lord make the call on that. I certainly would never contradict my brother, and I always want to honor and respect him, not only as my elder in the Lord, my senior in pastorship and in brotherly love too. But it does bear a lot of similarity. There is a lot of things here that could be said that it could be a description of the Lord. But where I drew the line, it was verse 6. And when I say I draw the line there, I just had something come to my mind. I guess it was the Lord. I don't know. And this may clear it up for all of us right here. I just thought about this when the Lord couldn't swear, but no greater, He swore by Himself. It's amazing how God can bring a dummy like me to thought. But in Hebrews chapter 6, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, so I guess maybe it could have been the Lord.
Yeah.
Let God be true for what I'm trying to say there.
Right.
But he could have swore by himself here. And that time shall be no longer. That's significant. What that basically means is there's not going to be no more delays. Now the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah for 120 years. While preacher writes, this was being obedient. He's building an ark to the saving of his house. He gets the ark done. God tells him to come down into the ark. Noah goes in the ark, takes Miss Noah with him. Shem, Ham, and Japheth go in and take their wives with them. And the Bible said the Lord shut the door. The long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Yes. The long suffering of God is waiting even in our day.
Amen.
The Lord hadn't brought the end of everything. I mean, He's still waiting. He's still looking. He's still longing for sinners to come to repentance, to come to Him, to get the unspeakable gift of forgiveness and salvation, to lay hold on eternal life, have a home in heaven, walk upon streets of gold for eternity on. I'm just telling you, the long suffering of God, when He said time will be no longer, all the delays are over.
Right.
I can't imagine that. Now, just for thought here, that rich man mentioned in Luke 16, the Bible said he opened his eyes, and being in torments, he cried. Now, his cry is not just from the pains of hell. His cry is not just from the flames of the hurt. His cry is because of the separation between him and God.
Yeah.
And he says, have mercy on me, Father Abraham. See, there's no mercy in hell. And now all of a sudden, he's interested in mercy. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, you know, we kind of take mercy for granted. Yeah. I'm glad I found mercy.
Amen.
Harry Paul done all kind of things. He said, how be it? He said, I obtained mercy. Because I did it ignorantly. And all the things, most of the things we do ignorantly.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really know the Bible to any depth at all. We had a soul winning class over at Bethel yesterday. And I went to it. I was surprised how many people showed up. And I was telling them at the end of it, I gave testimony. I said at the end of it, I said, I got saved 33 years ago. Had really no knowledge of sin. No knowledge really of the Savior that died for my sins. And when I got saved, I said I was going to read my Bible through for the end of the year. And I was telling myself, I spent the whole year on my knees saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I mean, I knew I was sorry, I just didn't know how sorry I was till I read my Bible through.
Right.
And it really humbled me, made me love the Lord supremely. I mean, I like I said, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was sorry. I just didn't know how big a sinner I was. And I didn't know how sorry I was until I read the Bible all the way through. And thank God for the Bible. It's like seeing yourself in God's mirror rather than seeing yourself in your mirror. It's kind of brutal. It'll show you the real you. But I needed that. It helped me more than anything. But this time, no longer. The delays are over. God's been, even though He's brought all this judgment, it's actually been kind of merciful. They're still alive. They're not all dead. I mean, a lot of the fish have died. A lot of the plants have died. A lot of the people have died. But God says here, verse 6, that there should be time no longer. All the delays are gone. Verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets, that mystery of God. Romans chapter 16. And it's inexhaustible on the subject here. But in Romans chapter 16, Paul makes this statement in verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. God's always been in control. There's always been a lot more going on than we were ever aware of. But I want to go a little further than that. In Ephesians chapter 3, a lot of references in Ephesians chapter 3 to mystery. And I'll read down to verse 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, now that by the revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. Paul had got to know a little bit about the mystery of the things of God. He goes down in verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Just with mystery in mind, the mystery of the Godhead bodily. I mean, there's some people don't understand the Trinity, and I may be one of them. But the Bible talks about the mystery of the Godhead. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, there's a lot of controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't even identify with Jesus. The Jews don't want nothing to do with Jesus, except old brother Bob Malkin up in Ohio. Praise God for that little Orthodox Jew got saved, amen. But these mysteries here, a lot of people, they don't give a lot of thought to them. Look down at verse number 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which was from the beginning of the world have been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't know that Christ is the Creator. I mean, it's kind of a mystery. And look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll have all kind of Bible in today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It was a hidden mystery that Jesus came down here and gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In Colossians chapter 2, again, talking about the mystery. Verse 2 and 3. That their hearts, well, I'll go ahead and read 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's so much about God that can't be known. And even in this, this mystery of God, as John's writing here in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. This is 66 books of the Word of God. Yes. There's a lot in here. It goes over my head. In that meeting we had yesterday, Marla Spillman, Brother David Ritchie, he was the one that gave that class on soul winning. It was good. And I always want to be a soul winner. I want to be ready to tell someone the good news that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. I want to always be ready to share plan of salvation with someone.
Yes.
But anyway, yesterday, Marla, she said, I've got a verse that I'd like to ask you what it means, and she never could even find the verse, much less my brother Rich had to worry about trying to tell somebody what it meant. But that just shows you the length and the depth and the breadth, the Word of God. It's just inexhaustible. As a preacher, I don't never have to worry about running out of messages. I don't never have to worry about running out of things to preach about. I'm just telling you, we've got an inexhaustible source, the Word of God.
Right.
And the good thing about it, Brother Ed, when we get to heaven, we're going to have perfect knowledge.
That's right.
Now, we can't have it here. I don't guess we could even contain it in our little cranial minds. But when we get that perfect knowledge, it's going to be something, Carolyn, to say, wow, why not see that? Why not understand that? I mean, it's kind of hid and it's kind of seen at the same time. We see little glimpses of it. We see typologies of it. You see Jesus in the Old Testament. He's portrayed as Joseph that was betrayed by his brothers. They hated him. They was jealous of him. He was betrayed of them, sold into slavery, got accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to make a move on her. And he done everything he could to avoid that incident. Got thrown in prison. In prison, got exalted up. Gave Pharaoh interpretation of the dream, and ended up being second in line to Pharaoh. Just all kind of typologies in the Bible. Little glimpses, little shadows, little pictures of Christ. The Bible itself says, "Lo, I come." In the volume of the book, it's written of me. He's all through there. But all of it, as broad as it is, as deep as it is, it'll all be known when we get to heaven.
Amen.
We know enough right now. I mean, I know in whom I have believed.
Yeah.
I mean, I know enough to be saved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know enough to tell somebody how to be saved.
Yeah.
I know enough to stand, having none all to stand there with. I know enough to give an answer. A man asked me a question, the reason the hope is in me. But concerning what all I could know, I know nothing. That's kind of sad. But here, it's going to be known. Here, he said, the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God, there'll be no more mystery. One thing we're going to be impressed with, Brother Ed, is we're going to understand how much God loved us.
Yeah.
I know God loves me.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the degree that God loved me. I mean, I was without God, without hope in the world.
That's right.
And other than the plan of God, I really didn't have any hope. But God gave His Son for me, a ransom for me to bail me out of my predicament so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be adopted, so that I could come live with Him, because that was His design all along. The Garden of Eden was heaven on earth, but the devil messed it up. When I say the devil messed it up, he can mess up your heaven on earth. Have you noticed all of us try to make a Garden of Eden in our own property? I mean, we plant the little fly Donnie down there cutting on these trees just down sitting there thinking, boy, that's your garden. He's over there whacking off redbud. Redbud. He said, I didn't cut them all off. I left a couple. But no matter what, we put the little rocks here. We put the little flowers here. We try to get it look just right because we're all wanting that garden back. And we can't never get it back, and yet God has made a way we can get a better garden than the Garden of Eden.
Right.
And you know what? We're going to get to go up there and see how beautiful it was when Adam and Eve enjoyed the garden of God. They wanted to come back. God had to put a flaming sword so they couldn't get back because they lost it. Well, praise God, I got it back. There ain't going to be no flaming sword. It's going to be nail-pierced hands walking me into heaven saying, well done! Come, you're home, amen. These hidden mysteries, the world, they kind of doubt them, scratch their head, all that stuff. But I'm looking forward to knowing all the things that there is to know, to understand the plan of God. When I say the plan of God, Isaiah 46:10, you see a little bit about how God planned all this out. Isaiah 46:10, God says here, I'll read verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning,
yeah,
and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God's always been in charge. And a man's always been the cause of all the trouble we have to endure down here. It just seems like everything they try to save and make it worse than what it was, been better off left it alone, and ends up being so expensive, ends up just getting out of hand. I heard somebody talking about how many eagles there are now. There's so many eagles now where they've been trying to protect the eagle and all that they're starving to death. I mean, just everything man tries to take the place of God, tries to, do the work of God. You know, God sends the rain in its season, causes the sun to rise, causes the wind to blow. Man somehow wants to be God. And he just can't do what God does. All right.
Brother Eddie, did y'all hear about Nike making those new tennis shoes?
I heard something about it.
Yeah, that cross is upside down. There's a drop of blood on it.
Yeah.
And the price of that dude is $666.
Yeah. Mm. There's a group back when I was lost. There's a group called the Blue Oyster Cult. And on the cover of that group, on the cover of that album of that group, mm-hmm. there's a magician. And he's pointing to something.
Yeah.
And if you look over there, it's a cross upside down, like Brother Ed just mentioned, yeah. with a question mark underneath it.
Yeah.
And, I have to admit, I like the songs. I like the group. But I didn't understand back then that even then it was pointing to questioning the Word of God and the work of God. And even today, men question the things of God. Yeah, have God said? I mean, they just still. And you know what? It's been promoted now. Right now, this cancel culture, if you want to know what's going on, it's going to cancel the church, the voice,
yeah.
the preaching, the singing. They don't want nothing to do with that Jesus. But you know what? God's got it all in the plan. We're reading about what they're going to get. The price they're going to pay for doing that. Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up. I probably should say that's what we need to do with the Bible. We need to take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And the Word of God, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And you know what? There's more to the Bible than what we'll ever dare to believe. I mean, we're begotten by the Word. I'll give some references to that here in just a second. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I just want you to know this Word of God, it's more than it meets the eye, if you know what I mean. Amen. Let me read one more place here. Acts chapter 7. You got a preacher here, buddy. And he ain't tickling ears. And buddy, he delivered this message. And he says in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. And you know, he goes on down here. And when they heard these things, verse 54, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he just probably said, help yourself, boys, I'm going home. And said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped up their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And that's one ended up being Paul. But this little book, it'll be sweet and it'll be also bitter.
Yeah.
There's a lot in here, Brother Ed, I love.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some I love to read it. There's other in here I read trembling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible said in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says the devils believe in God and tremble.
Yes.
Just this week, I was thinking about that verse. You know, when Jesus went through all the hell he went through here, when he showed up down there and reached out his hand for them keys of death and hell, I do believe that devil trembled.
Yeah,
I believe he was speechless. But I guarantee you one thing, he didn't make no reservation about giving him them keys. I'll tell you that right now. Jesus said, I'm he that was dead and am alive forevermore. Behold, I've got the keys of death and hell.
Yeah.
I want you to know when he demanded those keys, I believe that devil, maybe all the devils, trembled. Said, give him them keys. They didn't want nothing to do with him after they saw him raise up from the dead. They might have thought they'd won a little victory, but it wasn't over until it was over and the Lord showed up and showed them, buddy, that he was God of all, amen.
Yeah, right.
They had a short-lived party or victory lap, whatever. But this Word of God, part of it's as sweet as honey, and part of it, buddy, is bitter. Verse 10, he said, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. Boy, that'd be good if we would hunger and thirst for the Word of God.
Yes.
You know, honestly, I have to discipline myself to read the Bible. I literally make myself read it. When I first got saved, I had such a great hunger for the Word of God, I couldn't put it down. But I still need to read it. And even though I've read it and have some knowledge of it, I need to continue. Jesus said in John 8, verse 30, if you've been my disciples, continue in my Word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You need to continue to read that Bible. You need to continue to apply your life to it. And you know what? There's some parts in there. I read, I say, glory to God.
Yeah.
I read in there, amen, where he gives me power over devils and you know, power to do this, to do that. I like that. But also read in there where he tells me, to abstain from all appearance of evil and let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, come in saints. I read in there, have no fellowship with darkness, but rather reprove them. A lot of things like that. I'm thinking about the day and hour we're living in. Lord, how's that even possible?
Yeah,
then I read where I'm more than a conqueror through him. And I say, amen. I'm glad he kind of got it fixed. But anyway, eat it up. Spend some time in the Bible. Even if you don't spend but an hour. Now that, y'all couldn't do that. 10 minutes? 5 minutes?
Come on, brother.
Spend a little time in your Bible. Brother Donnie, he goes to work and reads his Bible before he goes into work. That prepare him for anything coming his way that day, amen.
Amen.
But any time that you can steal away, spend some time in the Word, you'll be better off for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to read a lot of Scripture while I'm here, for my sake and for y'all's sake both. But he said, I took the little book. Take it. There he said, I took it out of the angel's hand and ate it up. I'm her mama trying to get me to eat something, and she tried to, it's an airplane, open up, and you like this? And sometimes she'd give me a taste of something that wasn't even what it was, and I'd say, boy, it's good. Open my mouth, she put a big spoonful of spinach in there or something, you know. Whatever it took, but we're supposed to eat it up. And it was in my mouth as sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. You know, the Word of God, like I said, it's bitter sweet. It's a whole lot more sweet than it is bitter. But there is some in there, buddy, that I thank God for grace.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for grace, I wouldn't be going to heaven. Amen.
Right.
But it's our last verse here. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And our pastor brought out with this verse right here. He said a lot of people think John's going to be one of those two witnesses. But he brought out a good point. He said John is the one that wrote the book, St. John, and he wrote the book of Revelations, and he said he's already prophesied before many people, nations, tongues, and kings. And he said, John may be one of the two witnesses, but he don't necessarily have to be one, which will be mentioned in this next chapter here when we get to it. But we'll stop right there. That was a good lesson. Amen.
Amen.